good morning. It's a Friday morning, Friday, September the 7th, 2018, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's time for Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Now, Pastor Steve also has another show on the station, very interesting show, The Pastor Spot, which airs every Tuesday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., and repeats every Sunday morning, 8:10 until 9 p.m., and then every Wednesday from 3:10 until 4 p.m. Now, this program, which is live right now on Friday, will repeat on Sunday morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m., and then on Tuesday from 6:10 until 7 p.m. Pastor, how are you this week?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day, and as I like to say, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Absolutely. And here we are on a Friday, and the weather took an interesting change this week.
It really did. It got hot, very hot, but now there's some rain coming in. We've had some rain. You know, early in the year, it rained so much we were sick of it, and now the rain feels kind of good, doesn't it?
It does. I am ready for the fall weather.
Aren't we all?
Oh, boy. I can't wait for it.
Boy, we got a lot going on. Popcorn Festival is going on, which about everyone knows about. And we have our fall festival at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect coming up the first Sunday in October, and that'll be at 2 o'clock at the Prospect Park. Speaking of fall, it's our fall festival, and we'll just have music and food and games and just a wonderful time. Everyone's invited. Doesn't cost you a dime, and keep that in mind. There's not much we can say out there that doesn't cost a dime. Another thing going on this weekend, if you just want to stroll around, and whether you have a couple bucks in your pocket or not, is the Prospect Yard Sales on Saturday. That's a huge event every year, and as we drove in this morning, I saw some people already setting up for that. Maybe a good time to grab a bargain, huh?
Absolutely, and I do know next weekend as well is the Wings and Wheels car show, airplane show out at the Marion Airport. That's free admission to get in. They have some great antique cars out there. Some opportunities to fly on some airplanes, helicopters. Now, that will cost you a little bit of money, but admission and parking is absolutely free for that event.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So parents, relatives, friends, whatever, grab these kids up and go. Drag them out of their room, shut off the internet, and take off to the airport, right?
Absolutely, and have some fun. And have some fun along the way. The pastor and I got together earlier on this week and decided that one of the things we would talk about this Friday is ethics. And it's an interesting discussion. What does an ethical person, the definition, how would you define that?
An ethical person, when given a choice, either consciously or subconsciously because of their character, will choose what is right over what they may feel like or someone may expect them to do, over money, over position, over things of that nature. They look to see what is the right thing to do. You know, what is the thing that we should be doing versus what maybe do I feel like, what's going to benefit me? I want to read a passage real quickly that most of you know, I'm sure, from Scripture. When I think of ethics, I think of this, and it's in Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches." And that's an important thing to understand. You know, there's another passage that says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And, you know, at that time, and in Jewish history, the wealthy could obviously pay more tithes. And because they could pay more tithes, they could have more sacrifices, and they were thought that they would get to heaven easier. And what Jesus was saying was, hey, look, it doesn't matter how much you have. That's not what's getting you there. You know, it's not what you have. It's who you are and who you are in Him. And I think that today we have gotten so caught up in money, in how we look, in our position, and ethics. Boy, this can be interesting. I'm going to let you talk for a minute, Scott, because I got too much on my mind.
Well, I'll tell you, ethics to me has always been a situational thing to a degree, because I think of it a lot of times in business. Now, there certainly are personal ethics, but I think there are business ethics as well. And I always say, if I own a bakery, and there's another bakery in town, which chances there are. I don't think there's anything wrong with me saying that I have the best bakery. I think the problem is when I try to say unkind things about the other bakery. That's when I become unethical.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not trying to make my business better. That's a byproduct of what I'm trying to do. But essentially, my goal is to hurt their business. And if I can't hurt their, if I can't make my business succeed without hurting their business, then even if I do succeed, I didn't succeed ethically. I succeeded underhandedly. And what good is that?
It is no good. I took a course in seminary called Ministerial Ethics, and it was one of the better courses I took, because some of the things that it points out in there, you know, it's not ethical to disparage another church to make your church try to look better. And of course, while at the same time, and there's where that balancing thing comes in. If we certainly don't promote something that is wrong either. And we certainly don't encourage people to go somewhere where you don't believe in what's going on. Now, if I had a donut shop or a bakery, and I was wanting people to come to my donut shop, and I found out that this other donut shop was putting arsenic in their donuts, I think I would need to tell people, hey, folks, or tell the right people, they're putting arsenic in their donuts. Now, if they would do that, that's an extreme. But as far as using that to gain personally, and see, this is the problem that I see so much today in what we do with everything. I think you would agree with me that there's always been unethical things that go on in every situation. We just talked about some a few minutes ago in some of the wage and the condition differences of different ethnic groups in our country early on. We had a discussion about that. And that certainly wasn't very ethical in my view. But another thing, here's part of the problem we've run into with situational ethics. I think that situational ethics, in what you just said, is great. But here's the problem with the situational ethics, that this may be wrong, but if it doesn't hurt anyone, it's okay. And that's part of the problem, too. I'm not hurting anyone. And the truth of the matter is, yes, you are. Because any time that you do something that is wrong, that shouldn't be done, you're hurting yourself, whether you realize it or not. Even if it's not hurting another person, it is in turn hurting yourself.
You know, it can be a conundrum. And this literally happened maybe 2 weeks ago. I was faced with this particular thing. Somebody called here one day off the air. And they said that somebody who I don't want to say it's somebody that I don't like, because really it's somebody I don't know. But let's just say somebody who I do not have any kind of relationship with, and it's certainly not a good relationship because I don't have one with this person. But somebody called off the air, private caller, and they said this person who I'm talking about that I don't have the relationship with was doing something illegal. And that was pretty much the conversation. 3 minutes lasted. They told me when and where they were doing it illegally, and here is your ammunition. Because they're aware that this person doesn't like me. It's not that I don't like them. That's the situation. So, at that point, I guess I could have reported them, but my ethics were, I didn't know if what he was saying was true on the telephone. I didn't know the guy. And for me, even though I could have used it in this bad way to hurt the other person, I didn't do anything. Hung up the phone and never did a thing about it.
But, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, and not just the fact that you didn't have all the facts. The truth is that you know, we're instructed by God to treat others the way we would like to be treated. And you know, even turning the other cheek. How many times you forgive? Bible says 70 times 7. That's huge. Now, obviously, you're not going to stand there and let someone kill you. And that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to having a forgiving spirit, a forgiving heart. And I have to tell you, Scott, no matter how much this person doesn't like you or whatever the situation is, killing them with kindness will get you much further than stirring a pot. It always does. Mm-hmm. And some people think they've got to, you know, really. But then we run into another problem, and this is kind of hard too. Today, I'm going to look in politics specifically, and it actually, it's even true in the cloth, so to speak, that people many times have so many things that they're afraid that someone will say against them, that those that they need to be the watchdog of, they keep quiet so that they don't open up a can of worms they don't want to. That's a completely different situation than what you're talking about. But at the same time, when I'm a 17-year-old kid and I'm listening to the radio or I'm watching a debate or I'm watching TV and say I'm trying to decide in my mind, who am I? Who is this country? Who are we really? And I see a politician on any side of the aisle that it's pretty common knowledge they've done some things that they shouldn't. They've done some things that are unethical. And then when you see another person that's supposed to be ethical, such as another politician or another person, talking about how they are the most wonderful person with the best integrity in the world, not only have they not been honest, but now they've even made themselves unethical. And as a young person, you're looking at this and saying, is there anyone that's ethical left in this? Can I trust anyone? And I think because of that, we've really, really hurt our society. It's the same thing. We don't call people on the carpet anymore and police ourselves because we've got this thing where we just want to stay isolated from any disparaging things at all. And to give you a good example, there's a lot of laws about abusing women, domestic violence. Now, we know that because of Hollywood likes to take things and really exploit them. I'll give you an example. When I was growing up in the 60s, I think I saw two hippies. But if you ask a young person today, everyone in the 60s wore love beads and hippie clothes and smoked dope because Hollywood has portrayed the 60s that way. They portrayed men in the 50s as wearing what they call the wife beater t-shirts, drinking a beer, slapping his wife around. Did that go on? Absolutely. How many people actually did that? Very daggone few. And it's just like, I know in my mother's case, she had a wonderful life as a mom that met with other women and had lunch every day, and they'd trade houses and shared ideas, and just they were bright women that had studies together. But what I'm getting at is this. There was a personal responsibility back then. I remember one time a friend of mine's mother came over, and she was upset because her husband came home drunk and had been hitting her. And immediately, without even thinking, my father was out the front door, over to the house, grabbing him and saying, "What do you think you were doing?" And I think that we're missing some of that in this country. Everyone wants to stay behind closed doors. Scott, all I got to tell you, if I see you doing something unethical, which I don't expect to see, but if I did, I would feel it my responsibility as your friend to pull you aside and say, "Hey, bud, let's take a look at this." We don't have enough of that today.
No, we don't. And it's interesting because there was a show on this station for a period of time that had an episode one time that I listened to. And I'm purposely not saying the show and the host of the show because they certainly were entitled to their own opinion. But it's a nugget that I never could understand and never could agree with. They were discussing law. They were discussing legal law and also a personal law, the laws right. that garner your life. And their opinion was that even if you don't know it's illegal, that's as bad as even if you do know that it's illegal. And that basically people always know. Now, I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that either. If you're raised in a culture, now they may come to know it, but if you're raised in a culture that says something's right, I'll give you a real good example. This is a can of worms, and we won't go very far with this. I'll just mention this nugget that I really believe that in the South during the time of slavery, and in other parts of the world during time of slavery, whether it's white slavery, Jewish slavery, whatever it is, to an extent, there were people that were brought up to believe that those people were not as good or as important as human as they were. And it was a thought process. It was stuck in the mind. Now, as they are educated, and I like to say as a pastor, as God gets more involved in your life and you understand these things, you read the Word, you begin to, we call that in the pastor's world, in the Christian world, in the pulpit, we call that coming under conviction. In other words, something you thought was right all along is pointed out to you how wrong it is, and you suddenly realize, man, I was wrong. So I think that person was, you don't always know that something's wrong. You know, and to give you a good example, in the 60s, I can remember the men walking out of the church in between Sunday school and church, and friend of ours, Frank Robinson, is here on the set today listening. He's chuckling over here because he knows what I'm going to say. What did they do, Frank?
Well, they went out and had a smoke or a chew.
Yeah, but today people would say, man, that's wrong. Back then, it was just something, they didn't know that it was harmful. Everybody did it. And, you know, what about farmers growing tobacco that were solid people that never would do anything wrong to hurt anyone? So I see what you're saying, Scott.
Yeah, I don't understand. And when they said that, it was really shocking to me because even on the legal side, there was a story on the station this week. We had an actor on, and again, if you heard it, you heard it. If you didn't, you didn't. I don't want to use any names. But he talked about how when he first got in the acting world, he was a novice to it, and he was making more money than he had ever made, and he had an accountant, and the accountant said, let's do this thing called deferred tax. Well, this actor did not spend a lot of money throughout his career, and he accumulated about $2 million in his savings, and when he was in his 70s, the tax man came knocking and took all the money because of this deferred tax, which he should not have done. Now, I don't believe that he intentionally sent out to do something wrong.
Of course not.
But it was wrong, and he had to pay for it. $2 million he had to pay for it. But I don't believe he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get the IRS here by doing this.
Oh, of course not.
Right.
And that happens. You know, I know a fellow that was selling penny stocks. And the time he was selling penny stocks, he firmly believed he was going to really make people money. And some people lost a great deal of money, and he was demonized for it. I do believe when he was selling those stocks, he was not intentionally doing anything wrong.
No, and where is the forgiveness? When we went to the prison and did the show we did out there with the choir, I don't know if we truly ever forgive. There is a person very high up in Marion in the political parties. He's always been very involved in politics. Well, he got in trouble, and he ended up getting a felony. Now, he never went to prison for it, but it was a felony. And I said to somebody one time, I said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he ran for mayor. And they said, oh, nobody'd vote for him. He has a felony. And I thought, well, what does that have to do with anything? He got his sentence. You know what he did. He's paid his time. Are you ever out of the penalty box?
Of course you are. One thing that we learn about in the Word of God is unbelievable, ultimate, complete, from the East, from the West, forgiveness. And we don't have enough of that today. You know, I believe that we need to have consequences for what we do. However, there has to be a way back. There has to be a way to full restoration no matter what you do. What I don't understand is, as a pastor, if Jesus Christ can come to this earth, be mocked and beaten and die on a cross to pay for our sins, all of them, what makes us unable to forgive someone else? And Scripture even says that if you can't forgive, then your Father can't forgive you who's in heaven. And the truth is, we've got to learn to forgive people. You know, you take, just like that, a felony. You know what I always say about felonies? And some people won't believe this is coming out of my mouth. There'd probably be about 50 or 60% more felonies if good people got caught. And what I mean by that, people that seem to have good reputations, and we base a lot of that today on looks and money and who they are and how they act. And some of the things behind the scenes, they just don't get caught for. In our country today, as long as you are found not guilty in a court or is dismissed or you pay off the thing, you're not guilty. But the problem is, if you are a person of no means and can't afford that legal counsel, you become guilty. And there's way too much of that. I'll give you a real good example. A few years ago, and I won't use any names, I know a woman that was falsely arrested. It was even a wrong name situation. They literally had the whole thing wrong. But they had gone to her workplace and they arrested her. And they took her to jail. She was charged with some incredible theft she knew nothing about. And because she was someone that had a close family, and when she didn't show up that night, they're looking for her. There was enough means to immediately call somebody, get to the right people. And even though they had told her that maybe 10 days before she's arraigned, she was going to sit in jail, the next morning her bail was paid, it was straightened out, and she was and she left jail, okay? And the whole thing got straightened out. Now, my thinking in hearing that was this. What if that had been a single mother with no means that couldn't have done that? You know what would have happened? She'd have sat in jail. Children's Services would have taken her kids. She'd have racked up all kinds of fines. She may even have been falsely accused in prison and lost her family. Now, when you look at those situations, there's a lot of people that I think falsely can get felonies. And I think there's a lot of people that maybe should get felonies. I know there's a lot of people that because of who they are and what they have, they don't. So where's the ethics in all that?
You know, it's funny. There's a story I like to tell because I think it defines ethics, and in particular, what you just said. Because there, every time a talk about poverty happens, immediately people go to welfare and they go to the food card, and they go to all those things that people use for assistance. Now, the general public that is not using those systems, they complain about them a lot, and they'll say, well, those are people who are on drugs doing that, they're doing this for that reason, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Well, what I have come to realize is what happened in Florida. Florida had that same idea. They said, well, okay, here's what we're going to do in Florida. They passed a law. They said everybody who applies for the food card, everybody who applies for welfare, we're going to drug test. Now, here's the deal. We're going to drug test you. If you fail, not only do you not get the food card, but you also have to pay for the drug test. But on the flip side, if you pass the drug test, you obviously get what you have applied for, and the state pays for the drug test. The state about went bankrupt paying for drug tests because everybody was passing them. So it was a misnomer that was happening. But the stigmatism is still there.
Well, I've got kind of a personal stake in this in a way. Not really personal, but from operating food and clothing pantries and being involved, and also having a recovery program that Frank, you've worked with us on, and getting to know people and hearing their personal stories about that whole situation. These are people that are in that situation, and here's the deal. One of the problems is the ethics have to be on both sides of the table. If you are receiving those things, you need to be ethical also. about what you do and how you use them. If by chance, you are not, it's pretty hard to catch. And the problem is that we have a lot of people, oh boy, I don't know how to put this exactly, that are not being ethical in the program. And we have a lot of people that, in going from pantry to pantry and watching what's going on, first of all, most of those people today can get on our system as far as food stamps. And I know the percentages of them, and they're pretty high. Most of them are able to spend a better percentage than I am on food. But then again, understand something. An awful lot of them, one of the big problems we have today, is people have not been raised to understand budgeting. They've not been raised to understand how to cook, how to make things stretch. So it's what you get and what you consume. And I think that's part of the reason for part of our need for the pantries. But at the same time, there is a lot of selling of the food card. And there is a lot of people selling of the food card to get money for that and then using it. The problem with the program is, I think, that it's just one more bureaucracy. Bureaucracies have a tendency to not work and become unethical themselves. So there needs to be a way to fix the issue without going to that extreme. The other problem is, who are you punishing? Are you punishing the person doing the drugs, or are you punishing their kids that should be getting the... Because here's the thing. If they're selling their food card, which you think, how can you do that? It's a SNAP card or EBT card, what do we call it? You know, you've got that card and it's yours and you got it. No, that's not how it really works. Trust me, it can be sold very easily. Matter of fact, I even know through drug addicts that some of the drug dealers will buy your card from you and then they'll move it on and they will give you drugs for the card. There's a lot of that goes on. But here's the deal. Once you've sold it, it's gone. Now you've got kids at home. And the kids aren't getting food anyway. So then what they're coming to is the pantries, and they're getting the food to take the food home so the kids can eat. The problem is we need to stop somewhere that process of what's going on, and a lot of that's going to have to be done through law enforcement or whatnot.
You know what's interesting? Most conversations are driven, oddly enough, and most ethical decisions are driven by money.
Right.
Okay. Now, what's funny about that to me is when we talk about welfare programs and also when we talk about healthcare programs, the main thing working against those programs for people who have problems with them usually is it's costing the government money. You're causing my taxes to go up. We're going more and more in debt. Now, the ironic thing about that is one thing I never hear discussed is that the United States spends more money on defense than the next 24 countries, 23 of which are our friends, combined. And if we just bought one less B-52 bomber every year, everybody in this country would have health care. It would cover that bill. And people...
Wait a minute. One B-52 would pay health care for everyone in the country.
If we operated off of the single-payer system and everybody did what they did, if we did not fight these wars, I guess is a better way to put it, the wars.
Yeah,
the wars
one cost B-52 bomber isn't going to go
I don't know. Far. We should get the cost of what a B-52
yeah.
is. It's a lot of dope.
It isn't going to go very far, not when it comes to health care. But, you know, the thing is, right now, we are paying the health care. I know that... I've got a friend that recently had to go on Medicaid, an accident issue, and shared with me that, you know, it's really nice. You know, the bills are paid when I go in, they're paid. And if you can, if you are on Medicaid, you know, it does work as long as you can be on it. You know, this whole healthcare thing, I don't want to get into today's topics on ethics and the problem with getting into healthcare on it or even in defense spending. And things of that nature are, I'm not an expert in defense spending, and I'm not an expert in healthcare. We've got a huge problem in this world. Thank God we're able to defend our country, against those that would cause harm. I don't think that we need to be policing the world. However, I do need, who was it that made the statement, keep your friends close and your enemies closer? And there was a reason for that. And I think that we need to have really strong intelligence. But as far as some of the presence, I don't know. I think that we need to quit. Sometimes we need to stop worrying more about feeding the world and maybe feeding our people. But at the same time, as far as healthcare goes, the biggest problem I see in healthcare today, and I've got to tell you guys, you know, I'm pastor of a smaller church. I don't have a Cadillac healthcare program. Matter of fact, I think I have a 52 Edsel program. And if anyone even knows what an Edsel is anymore. And the bottom line is, I'm one of those people that falls between the cracks, that they pay very little, and the cost is just astronomical for me. And I know there's people that don't need health care because they are on a permanent situation where they go in and it's paid for. When they get there, it is paid for. And even in Medicare, which was supposed to take care of our seniors, now the supplemental has gotten so high. I know people that are paying $700-$800 a month for their supplemental. It's crazy. So my point is this. Our problem, to me, our biggest problem with healthcare is not whether it's single payer, not whether it's... Our biggest problem is we've got to get these costs down. It's ridiculous. It's gone ridiculous.
Well, and I think this is where the ethical point comes in. Terry just looked it up. A B-52 in 2016 cost $99.9 million. A B-52. Now, Congress, the president... In 2016, it was President Obama. They make the decisions to where to spend this money. They do the budget. $99.9 million on a B-52 2 years ago. Now, to me, $99.9 million could be spent a lot. That's the ethical... because even if you're doing your own home economics... if you need to pay for a security system for your home, or you need health care because you're sick, what are you going to do? You're probably going to go with the health care. I don't know a whole... I'd love to know the percentage of people who have home security systems. I think it's very small. And the thing about this country is, and I'm not sure why it is, because in philosophy, we really should not be militaristic, because we've only had one war... since the start of the country, fought on the grounds here. And that was a civil war. It was our own war. We've never had another war fought in the United States. So I'm not sure why we spend that much money on defense when 24 countries are on our side. And there's really only one that's against us. So I think sometimes... The ethics of this is, we still have homeless people in this country. There are still people homeless in the United States of America. There are people who have cancer who can't take a certain kind of drug because their insurance will not approve it because you've hit your maximum deductible. And I don't understand why we... Is there a threat at this point? You know, the biggest attack we've ever had on this... the grounds of the United States was 9/11. No B-52 stopped that. So it's kind of a conundrum to me. Mm-hmm. Because is our money being spent in the best way? I don't know. I really don't know. And I think that is ethical, because the people making those decisions are the people you vote for, and I think you vote for them based on your ethical decision and their ethics. But... is it necessarily the best way to go? I don't really know.
Well, if you think about it, first of all, the cost of that B-52 at a $1,000 a month health care plan would only take care of 9,900 families. That's just a drop of the bucket in the people that are unsure. That wouldn't cover anything. It's nothing. I mean, quite frankly, I can go in the hospital and it can cost me $500,000 just like that.
I wonder what health care costs were in this country because of Obamacare, because there was a change. I wonder what what money in our budget has been set aside for that?
I don't. You mean what they were in general?
Yeah, because I don't.
I don't know, and I'm not going to talk about it because I don't know, and I'd be shooting from the hip with a bad aim. But the truth of the matter is that I think that what you're saying there's this is where good common debate comes in. This folks, if you're listening to this, this is the kind of debate that needs to take place in our government instead of worrying about who tied their shoes with somebody else's shoestrings and who got caught looking in a mirror at some lady sitting at a table with a short dress on. I mean, this is the kind of debate that we need to be having. And the truth is that if we sit down and really talk about these things, can Congress sit down and say, just like you just did, okay, we're spending all this money. What's the actual threat? What do we really need? Problem is we're policing the world. The problem is those countries that are our friends, most of them can't defend themselves. And we know what happens when they can't defend themselves. They just march into Crimea and that kind of thing. You do what you're going to do because they can't. So we're out there defending the world. Now we have to come down and we have to have a common sense argument. Look, are we taking care of ourselves? Are we going to take care of the world? And if we don't take care of the world, what's the repercussions of that? And it needs to be an honest, open, and I dare I say ethical debate where whoever is talking about it has to be talking from a point of right and wrong and not who's going to line their pockets because of a defense contract. You know, who are we going to sell all this material to in another country because they're giving our private charity a kickback. I mean, all this stuff goes on, you know, whether, I hate to use the word swamp because people immediately think of Trump, but we do have a swamp in Washington. And I heard someone say one time that, someone said, why don't they just drop all their incomes down to $40,000 like everybody else or $50,000, give them a halfway decent program and see who we get in Washington. And the argument to that is on the Washington side is, well, if we do that, we're not going to get quality people. I kind of laugh at that because I'll tell you something. We don't have very many quality people in there now. It should not be something to make you rich. And it's amazing. You look at these politicians, and I'll go all the way to the top. Well, you look at most of these politicians, and they go in there, and you see what their salary is, and then you see what they're making when they come out, and you think, where in the world did that come from? It's because people make money from defense contracts. People make money from pharmaceutical companies. All these things go right back to ethics. Where are we ethically? And when in the world are we going to wake up as a country and say, no more? It isn't going to be there. Could we, with the cost that we spend in defense, pay for probably the health care for the world? For ourselves, I mean, probably. But we can't leave ourselves defenseless. And that's where they have to come to that common ground in an ethical way and quit using things as everything's a political football. Your side does this. My side does that. You know, you don't care about people because you feel that this way or that way. I think that, you know, it's not always an either or. It's a little bit of both.
Right, and I would imagine that most people would not advocate for leaving the country wide open, because I think that's a scary thing. But I think people wonder sometimes why the budgeting is the way it is, because the excuse given a lot of times for reasons we cannot do certain things in this country is financial. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of what it all comes back to. But nobody seems to bother much with the financials when it comes to certain things, like pay raises for political people. That was a good one that you mentioned. Certainly, when it comes to defense right now, that is a big one. It's just always been a big one. It just simply has. So I just wonder, when they sit down and make out the budget, do they really think ethically? Because the problem is, every single person who's making the budget, from the president to the Congress to the Senate, they all have health care. They don't care. There could be no money in that budget for health care. Doesn't matter to them.
And, therein lies part of the problem, and that is the fact that they are not held accountable. Who else holds them accountable, Scott? Who's supposed to?
Well, I tell you, in this country, the voters and the media are supposed to do that. But one of the problems is, even with media is, we had a conversation about this the other day, if a company comes in and buys time on your station, which pharmaceutical companies do, it probably is best for you not to speak negatively of them. Because you're going to end up in a bad place.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Even some of the largest broadcasters are owned by business people, and so we see that. And then if a small guy comes along, they want to hush him up or push him away. And it's the same thing. Yeah, many guys probably do end up going to Congress for the first time with great ideas and great plans. And after they're there 6 months, they just start smelling like swamp. And either they get out or they get worse. And we as the voters have to start demanding ethics across the board. You know, quite frankly, our budget is unethical. Our budget should be balanced. We have no right to spend money we don't have in this country. We have no right to see the national debt where it is or anything else. And if we start looking at where this money is going and start comprehensively as a country have leaders that say, let's fix these problems. Let's make sure that we have the means that we need to take care of our people. And let's make sure that the people that we're taking care of are doing everything they can to take care of themselves too. It's a situation that requires everyone to be ethical, not just one group or the other.
Well, that's the thing I always wonder, and I guess that's where this conversation was heading in the ethics conversation. Because in the beginning, we started out by saying, when people do wrong, they don't always know they're doing wrong. In this situation, do they think they're doing the right thing? I don't know, because you talked about lobbies, essentially, i.e. the swamp. So when they take that money from that group, no matter what the lobby is, do they think that's right? Is that really what they believe?
Well, are we running out of time
yet? We've got about 4 minutes.
I'll say this, and I may get in trouble for saying this. I worked in business for a long time, and I worked with people of privilege a lot. And people of privilege, for the most part, I don't want to offend any of you out there, but you're completely out of touch with the common man. When I would turn in a bill, usually it was the people of privilege that took the longest to pay the bill because they weren't in a bind, so they didn't understand why anyone else should be in a bind and need money. So what's the big deal? People of little means would pay me right away. And I think that's what we've got into in Washington. We've got a bunch of people in Washington that are completely out of touch with reality. They're out of touch with hunger. They're out of touch with not being able to afford health care. They're out of touch with saying that they have to forego food in order to forego medical care. They don't understand splitting pills. And the sad thing is, instead of coming back with compassion, most of them really believe these people are there of their own doing and it's their fault. So we are just going to deal, make, and do it. The problem is in Washington, Washington is out of touch with the common American. Completely. And the only way I think we're going to fix that is for the common American to start saying enough. I'm tired of the high dollar politicians and the lawyers running everything. Let's get some real common people in there that understand the needs of our country. But we just keep reelecting the same old high dollar people. I know people, you know people, and we've been people. I just told you about my health care. It's killing me. I mean, really, it's financially killing me. They don't understand that, and they think, well, then that's your fault. You should have planned differently.
You know, one of the things, and I don't know about ethical, but it to me does scream of ethics. It's not been recently, so let me put it that way. But years ago, when I was in college, I was working at a retail location. And there was an election going on. And there was one person who was very fervent for a particular candidate. Now, that's fine. That's what we do in this country. Now, this particular candidate was somebody, if you looked at their positions, who wanted to drop the cost on food card benefits of that nature. It was just their position, and that's fine too. This person who adamantly supported them benefited from those programs, but they voted for that person who was going to take away their programs. And I said to him one day, I said, you know, if you don't believe that that should be there, then why do you use it? And they said, because it's there. Now, they had no problem with it being taken away, apparently, but yet, as long as it's there, I'm going to use it.
And to me, that's unethical. And we see so much of that in our country. Hey, it's there, I'm going for it. I remember as a young man, we hit a real hard recession one year, and I was out shoveling drives to buy diapers with a hand shovel because my work had stopped, and I had kids at home. I could have gone down and applied for something, but the bottom line was I was able-bodied, and I thought of something I could do to make money. We don't have enough of that today, and a lot of people will take advantage of things regardless and support a candidate even though they may not agree with what they're always doing. And it's just the same way with, you know, I know people that are horribly anti-abortion, but they'll vote for a candidate that supports it because of other issues the candidate has. So I think we just really need to continue this conversation. So next week's what we need to do.
I think we do, because this turned into a much more interesting conversation depth-wise than time will allow today. But this program will repeat on Sunday morning, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and next Tuesday from 6:10 to 7 p.m., and we'll do it again next week, Pastor.
Thanks, Scott. Always good to talk. God bless all of you, and have a great week.
495, webpage, crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and needs. Telephone number 740-751-1717.